hello and thank you. Thanks so much. Look, you could have done a lot of different things today. Not being in the sunshine is one of them, but I think it's really important that we understand how much we appreciate you guys being here with us and spending some time. I see a bunch of familiar faces. I think, Elad, you get the points for the longest mileage to get here from Tokyo. So for those of you that are with us for a long time, good morning. And there's a bunch of new faces. And to those of you that are new to the LivaNova story, welcome. We really would like to spend some time with you telling our story today, and I'd love you to take away three things. Firstly, that we're a growth company with tremendous runway, both short-term and long-term. Second, that we have the capacity and the capability to exploit those opportunities and the ability to leverage the P&L to drive and accelerate that growth. And thirdly, that we have a dynamic, talented, and very experienced team to realize our goals. So for me, I've actually been looking for this sort of opportunity for a long time. I had a mission to find an asset that had these sorts of capabilities and qualities, and it was really what attracted me to LivaNova, and it's one of the most exciting things I've seen in my 25 years in medical devices. I hope by the end of today you're as energized as we are, and that comes across from the team here and in the display booths. What I really want to do with you is spend some time telling you about the company, giving you an overview of the company. Then I'll take you through some of our strategic imperatives and how we're viewing our opportunities. And then lastly, I'd like to talk to you about how we're transforming the company. A lot of you have asked me, so what's different? And the what's different part of it is how we're operating as a team. And I'd like to give you some insight to that and the imperatives that we're using to align the company. So with that, I'll dive on in. I really don't believe you can do what we do unless you have a passion for changing a patient's life. And I've really been impressed as I've traveled around the organization. Our 4,500 people really are passionate about what we do. And I think what we've started to undo is unlock their passion and give them a chance to really explore the opportunities that I think have been caged up for quite a while. And I'd like to think of us as a focused medical technology innovator. We've got a bunch of products, and that's the collective term for a bunch of products, is for things that I think really change patients' lives. And hopefully throughout the day you'll see that, and you'll understand why we think these positions are unique, and hopefully you'll understand why we think we've got competitive advantages with those products. If you think about the portfolio, three pieces. So the largest piece, cardiac surgery. Alistair's going to spend a bunch of time with you today talking about that. But you can see here, you know, the large part of that's cardiopulmonary, you know, typified by the heart-lung machine. We have one of those here, and the oxygenators. And then the other smaller part, but I think significant and important part, is our heart valve business. Lots of questions about that with all of you on the call. And, you know, we've got a Percival in the display booth today, so you can see why we think Percival is so exciting as the only sutureless aortic valve replacement. Second part of the business is the vagus nerve stimulation, VNS therapy. Jason's going to tell you a lot about that today. I really love this business, not just because I still think it's a bit of a diamond in the rough, but I really think that if you see the impact that this product has on a patient's life, it's extraordinary. And, you know, talk to the people today about that, but, you know, the fact that we've got this pediatric indication, I think, for me, is a game changer in terms of being able to affect families. And then lastly, the CRM business, which I believe has a really strong regional footprint, some terrific science and technology and a pipeline, and that's the third part of our portfolio. Now, many of you will have seen our announcement this morning about that. In fact, every time we're on a call, the ubiquitous question is, what do you think about CRM? And I'll come back to my point. I think it's a strong regional player, particularly Europe and Japan. In fact, I was in Tokyo on Monday with our Japanese distributor talking to them about what I see as the future for the group. There's some really tremendous science, like the sonar study and technology, and it's a pipeline of this product portfolio that I think is really important. Having said all of that, within the LivaNova portfolio, we've decided that it's no longer a strategic fit. And so we've taken the decision to explore strategic options, and we're going to look at a pathway to finding a home for that portfolio with the team that's involved in the near future. I am sure there's going to be a ton of questions about this, and you know, we'll try to filibuster and deal with all of that. But you know, beyond the fact that we're exploring strategic options, you know, there's not a whole lot more information until we have a definitive decision. Many of you have asked me what's different. And I'd like you to just use this slide to pick out a few things and think about this. Firstly, I think our focus is different. Certainly, the change in the portfolio structure is an example of that. But you'll see throughout the day as we talk about what do we think are the growth drivers, what do we think is important, you'll see that we have a different focus. I think here, one of the other words that I hope you'll pick out of this slide is executing. A lot of the time, you know, and you sit through a lot of these presentations, there's a lot of words. I hope what you see from us is action. We are really executing on a lot of these things that we're talking about. We've already committed pathways, people, and energy to a particular course of action, and I'll try to demonstrate that on the way through, but you know, you'll see this throughout the day. And lastly, you know, we're a new management team. You know, you followed some of the announcements, but we're largely a new executive team, and I think that that's brought a renewed energy to the company, and I think giving people a chance to unlock some of this passion that I talked about. So we've started to try and shape up how to think about LivaNova, and this is where I think it's important to start thinking about our market sizes and where we play. Think about us as the head and the heart. And this is important not only in terms of how we're guiding the company, but also how we're thinking about our external M&A opportunities. We're the head and the heart. And if you think about the market sizes, in total we're in about $8 billion of market. They're growing markets. They've got very interesting technologies. They've got health economics outcomes that are important. And we're only at roughly $1 billion. Huge amount of runway. Huge amount of runway for us. And we think that some of the things that we have in our portfolio are unique, differentiable, with competitive advantages. Hopefully that'll read through for the people here today. And as we talk about this going forward, you know, we'd like to keep coming back to this. Unique products, differentiable. Focus. You'll hear me talk about this. It's a word that I use a lot. Like it drives people crazy. There's only so many things you can do. I actually think most people can only count to four. And so we picked four things to focus on to drive near-term growth. This is near-term growth. Yes, Benjamin, it's four. Yeah, four. I know you're probably like a five or six guy, but I'm four. So think about this. These are the four things we're asking the company to really drive. There's other parts of the portfolio that are important and ancillary, but these four things really make a difference to us. Unlocking epilepsy in neuromodulation. Jason's going to talk about that. HLM conversion. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but HLM conversion is an important one, as well as a new innovation cycle. Oxygenator market share. You'll hear us talk about 70% market share in HLMs, but only about 30% in oxygenator. I think there's a huge opportunity here, especially given it's the same 100 square meter footprint. 1,000 square feet for those of you that think in Imperial. And the last thing is Percival. And we really see here this idea of account acquisition and account penetration. And I'll talk a little bit about that in our growth imperative later. So let me just talk to you about here what's different. Heart-lung machines. So when I got here, you know, in fact, as recently as the Q4 earnings call, we were telling you, customers are telling us they're going to wait for the next cycle of innovation, not going to sell many HLMs. The only catch is, as we talk to customers, and listened to some of the evangelists inside the company, what we understood was, even with that, we still had the best HLM in the market, 10-year-old product. People still viewed this as the best machine to work as a perfusionist. So, along comes Marco Dolce, the new president of Europe, and he implements funnel management. And funnel management's a simple process. It's literally sticky tape and crayons, in the first instance, but you can use a spreadsheet if you want to. And this is a mechanism for creating visibility to your conversion options and tracking a product sale through six steps. It's not hard, it's just a process. It's a methodology. But by applying that process, we all of a sudden unlocked a huge number of conversion opportunities from the S3 to the S5 product that previously everyone said, "Eh, no one's buying." And, to be honest with you, that's one of the growth drivers that's gonna pull us through for the next 18 months while we're in this innovation cycle. So focus and what's different. They were the near-term things. Medium term. We've talked about these, but not really as a collective and as a strategic portfolio. So these are our strategic portfolio initiatives, or those of you that like a TLA, a three-letter acronym, SPI, SPIs. These are important because a lot of growth for a lot of companies has to come through M&A or, you know, prototyping and early stage. These are products already in our portfolio. We know how to make them, we know the customers, we know the disease state, and we're excited about these three levers being a major contributor. You'll see in Thad's slide shortly, you know, where we think these start to read through and how much we think we can contribute, but any one of these as a shot on goal, candidly, would create a whole new med tech company. And we believe any one of these is an opportunity, but we believe all three are important to us, and we have the ability to resource them. Treatment-resistant depression, we've talked about. Jason's gonna give you some ideas about what's different. Some of you that followed Cyberonics' story lived through the ups and downs of that, and we're in a very different position, we believe, with our storyline here, and hopefully you'll feel that by the time you get through the end of the day. But treatment-resistant depression, incredible opportunity, and coming back to a health economics proposition, what this could do for patients is extraordinary. CMVR, Paul and Al, who's next door, are gonna talk to you about that. They did a case last night. I'm not gonna steal your thunder because I know you want to talk about it, but there was a case last night in New York. We really believe we're in a tremendous position to lead in this market, and you'll see the story, but you'll also get to touch and feel the product. And we think that this is a tremendous opportunity for the company. And lastly, heart failure. Look, this was one of the rationales for the merger. Candidly, I think this was underfunded and languished. And it wasn't until Thad came on board that I was visiting with him in Minneapolis, and we had a five-hour review with the heart failure team, and we really got to dive into the data of our pilot study, the ANTHEM study. And you know, Thad leaned over to me and he said, "This is awesome. Did you realize what this data is?" And we, you know, we really spent a ton of time with the team talking about what this could do. And so we've decided to fund this as one of our strategic initiatives much more aggressively. One of the tremendous things about this is autonomous resynchronization therapy really wasn't, you know, top of mind for a lot of people after some of the studies failed in the last couple of years. We believe we understand why they failed. We think a lot of it had to do with dosing of patients, and a lot of it had to do with patient selection. We've been through a very extensive set of discussions with the FDA and been granted expedited access pathway for the trial. And so we're going after this, and we believe this is a tremendous opportunity. So near term, focus and execution. Medium term, the SPIs. And then on top of that, we have a tremendous balance sheet that gives us an opportunity to do M&A. Almost no debt. And we think what we can do is find bolt-ons and tuck-ins to our existing platforms. Our intention is to find things, for example, in the cardiac surgery business that accelerate growth to some extent but add profitability, near-term accretive deals. We think we've got opportunities in the mitral and neuromodulation that will accelerate growth in areas that are already going to be high-margin businesses. And we think we can do this and create the capacity for the organization to exploit our existing footprint. We're not thinking about buying in vitro diagnostics, you know, new platform things now that we've talked about the strategic options for CRM. This is about finding things for the head and the heart. One of the things I talked about is how to focus the organization, and we've tried to think about it like this to lead the organization into phases of growth. So, first phase, I call this getting the trains running on time. The team has heard me use this term a lot. Get the near-term execution going, start working on the profitability. I'll come to that in a minute. And the third, fourth, last set of bullets is really about the SPIs, investing in the strategic portfolio initiatives. But getting the trains running on time, building a foundation. The second phase is really about exploiting that. You know, the rhythm and cadence of operational excellence starting to read through, accelerating our growth. You'll see Thad's slide that talks about that in a minute that really shows you how we're thinking about those things contributing to our growth and profitability. And then lastly, expanding them globally as we look at registrations and reimbursement. So think about these things in three phases. We'll try to keep that thread running through, and you'll see how these all pull together. You can't do any of this without us transforming the organization. Some of you knew the legacy companies. You knew the culture of the legacy companies. We believe what we need to do is substantially rewire the company. We've begun that journey, and we've done this around some guiding principles, which we call the four pillars. The words are simple. It's the nuance below them that are important. So let me just spend a few minutes on that. Growth. I talked about growth, how we're focusing the company. It's really about how we're doing that. I'll give you a quick example with Percival. It's a bit old school. Those of you that, you know, grew up in pharma world, you know, knew that you sweated the average daily milligrams of a drug. We've introduced that same sort of thought to the sales team to think about average daily units. We're talking about account penetration and account acquisition. We're measuring both of those. The US team measures it weekly. I love these ideas of weekly things because it gives you 52 shots on goal, not monthly. And then at the leadership team level, we review that with Jason monthly. It's a really important change in our methodology. And you know, you pick a word, the metabolic rate, the cadence, which is my favorite. But our cadence is really ramping. And this is our focus here is about changing the way we work. So that's when I talk about growth, there's a nuance to it, which I think is important. Profitability. I said at the start that we could talk about things, but we're actually doing things. Right out of the gate, footprint consolidation. I think, you know, early on you saw we were prepared to make decisions that had perhaps been overhangs on the management. We shut down the China facility. We shut down the Costa Rica facility. And we're prepared to make big portfolio decisions like CRM call. SAP. We just finalized the implementation of SAP in the US. We are now front end around the world, but for a couple of small geographies, SAP enabled. Next step is the back end, but the front end processes are all SAP enabled. Lean manufacturing. A number of you heard me say that we had the embers of lean manufacturing as I studied the organization in Mirandola or did the Gemba walk in Munich. You can see people early stage lean. What wasn't happening is having that templated and replicated across the company. Pascal, our head of ops, is ex-automotive, and he gets lean. He just needed a partner to help get behind him on that, and we've really gone after this. We believe this is going to be a substantial profit generator for us as we drive our lean capabilities across the organization. Direct and indirect procurement, nothing like buying better and spending better. And we've put people in place. We have initiatives. We have action plans to go after this. And this, again, will be an important contributor to us. Talked about investing up front. You need to be able to fund that, and this is one of the drivers for that. And lastly, pricing consistency. You know, I talked to you about the Neuromod team being very disciplined, two straight lines, and some of the other groups being much more like a Jackson Pollock when you put their price array up. We are really putting a lot of energy behind pricing discipline. We think it's an important part of how we're going to drive above-the-line gross margin. You'll hear me talk about above-the-line, below-the-line. Above-the-line gross margin, pricing discipline. Can't do this without talent. You'll get to meet a bunch of the people that I believe are one of the most talented group of people I've seen in med tech. But beyond that, there's 4,500 people we want to bring along for the ride. And the way we're doing that is to give them clearer pathways about what it means to be part of LivaNova. We're rewiring our development plans. So while we're attracting new people, we want to keep them. But to keep them, you've got to spend some time talking to them about their future and their personal and professional ambition. And we're rewiring how we do that. And I think, again, that clarity and the cadence of conversation is a substantial difference for our internal organization. Lots of companies do this. It just hasn't really been done effectively and with us. And we believe that having those conversations is going to be a crucial part of how we develop. Binding all that together is our culture. Lean manufacturing has a connotation of continuous improvement, and that's really where we're starting. I want people to fail fast, try things, get out front, be disciplined, be accountable. And I think what we've tried to demonstrate as we've come in as a new leadership team is that we're going to be much more open to people trying things. But while we're giving them focus, we're also giving them a lot more empowerment to be able to execute. It's a little bit new. It's an emerging story for our company. You know, you don't rewire a company overnight. But I really believe that we've started this journey, and the reaction I've had as I've traveled around, and Laurie can stack my calendar with so many town halls. It's been a tremendous opportunity. But, you know, as we've traveled, right, you know, the reaction's been very positive to how people see these opportunities in front of us, and it's a different energy. So I think we're different. I think we're a different company than we were 8 months ago. It's an emerging story, but we're focusing on growth, near-term and mid-term, and we're bringing a whole lot of new processes and capabilities to the organization. So as I said, I'd love you to walk away saying, okay, these guys are about growth. Growth in revenue, growth in profitability. I'd like you to say, okay, they're transforming the organization, both the portfolio and how the company runs, and that they're creating value. We've been really, really humbled by the reaction so far to the share price and the value we've created. We believe there's a long way to go, and I'm convinced that we're going to exploit that and generate that revenue, generate that profit, and generate that shareholder value.